In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we're going to talk about the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, which is going to be July 15th. And the first part, I'm going to talk about Lectio Divina. I've been touching on this the last few times because it's so important, and I just want to go over the basic steps of it that tradition has always held and were outlined very beautifully by Guigo the Carthusian. He has a little study on this, you see. Okay, so you start Lectio Divina, sacred reading, by reading the Bible. You can start anywhere, but for the kind of work we're doing, you don't want to stop, just crack open and get a text. You want to start reading and follow. You can pick anything you want. You could pick Genesis, John, Paul, Song of Songs, whatever you want. You turn your heart and mind over to God and pray. You read slowly and ask yourself questions. If you like, you can start writing out the text because that helps you pay attention to what you're doing. My own resolution since I began to teach, which is a long time ago now, I always would translate the text myself and type it out so that I know that I'd paid attention to every single word before I ever taught it. That's, you know, for people to teach it, but to write it out can be a help, you see, just to help you pay attention. That's the reading. You're just reading the text. That's step one. Step two is meditation. Think about it. Pray about it. Stop when something touches your heart. A lot of people have a notebook there and they jot out something. For instance, suppose you were looking at Romans. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Why is he an apostle? What's an apostle anyway? You might want to jot that down. And then, when you're finished, have a dictionary like Leon Dufour. I mentioned that plenty, but it's the best. It's called Dictionary of Biblical Theology. And the editor is Xavier Leon, and then his last name is Dufour. D-U-F-O-U-R. You can still get it from Amazon. And I think it's less than $20. And there's nothing quite its equal for theological insight as well as for accuracy. You see, and then apply these things to your own life. In other words, meditation is what you do at this stage. You're thinking about it, you're wondering, why call him an apostle? You make a note, apostle. When you finish, you go look up apostle in the theological dictionary I just mentioned or somewhere else. You know, and you find out it's from the word shaliach in Hebrew or in the Semitic languages, and it means somebody sent, like an ambassador, and it just helps you understand. Okay. And then, as you're doing that, you know, the Lord will start to talk to you. I promise you. There's nothing He'd rather do than talk to you. But first you have to know it's possible. Second, you have to be quiet enough to hear Him, which is the next step. So you read a bit, you see, and you pay attention, and you say, I must check out that word apostle, you know, when I finish. Then you pray. You talk to the Lord about this. So there's read and then pray. And say, you're going to do this for a half hour, So, you know, organically, but you start praying and you talk to the Lord about it. And you ask Him to speak with you and you listen quietly. Something that comes to your heart, you know, write it out. Just enough of you can do it, you know, come back to it later. Well, you say, how do I know if that's the Lord or if it's just me? Well, if it's, I got to go get some coffee before the store closes, that's probably not from the Lord. You know, I mean, like, you can figure that out yourself. But other things, but after a while, it gets clear. If it builds you up, if it leads you to repent for sin, if it leads you to have a greater affection for God, that's from God. And little by little, you get used to it. You see? And so, prayer, you see, is you waiting for God to bring this text alive and talk to you through it. And that's called revelation. Here's a definition of revelation. Revelation, in this sense, does not refer to private revelation like Margaret Mary Alacoque or something less well known. It refers to the personal appropriation of public, objective revelation in a way that impacts the life of the believer. You see, we started with Paul's letter to the Romans. Let me give you an example. I'll just take that first opening line. Pavlos Apostolos. Doulos. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called an apostle, set aside for the good news of God. Where do all these words come from? Well, some of them you could look up, like good news or gospel, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Writings. Oh, my goodness, the Holy Writings. Do I ever pay any attention to them? Do I ever read them? Do I know that that's the source of my knowledge of God? Is there? And it's this experiential appropriation of the truths that are being talked about. Sometimes you just sit quietly and look at the words. Think about them slowly. You see? So there's meditation or study, but it's not study like the usual kind of study. And then prayer. Then contemplation. That is, the Lord takes you to another place. He wants to do this. This is the way everybody should read the Bible, not just the mystics. But the Lord would take this reality and make it at home to you. Revelation is an appropriate word to use in describing this process. I'm quoting from something I wrote a long time ago. As is already implied in the manner in which the word apocalypsis is used in Ephesians. In this sense, revelation involves a continuation in the church of God's act of self-communication, which was definitively accomplished in the Paschal mystery. But now it has to touch us. And the means is this. That's why the Pope takes all this time in this teaching on the Word of the Lord to talk about Lectio Divina. So there's read, just read it. Then there's reflect on it, think about it. That's meditation. And then wait and see if something doesn't strike you. And if it does, jot it down so that you'll remember it. You can relive the experience then, you see? And just, maybe you'll start writing a lot. That's okay. And then, finally, you see, reading, meditation, prayer, talking to the Lord, and then contemplation. So those are the four aspects. They're not steps. You read it, you pray, you know, you mull it over, and you pray, and then the Lord acts. And the Lord loves to act. That's why He wrote the text. He didn't write it so that scripture professors would have a job. He wrote it to talk to his people, as a father talks to his children, as it says in Vatican II. And so those are the steps of Lectio Divina, you see. And it's very important that you come to experience the way the Bible can cause. Because the Lord does want to talk to every person, you see. The Catechism, for instance, talks about knowing the propositions of the faith and experiencing the realities they communicate. Catechism. This is number 170. We do not believe in formulas, but in those realities they express, which faith allows us to touch. This is the Catechism. Touch the divine realities. This is an apt way of expressing, you see, what I'm trying to say about revelation. It comes alive to you. And as this happens enough, you begin to realize, that's God talking to me. That's God talking to me. That's pretty exciting. Sometimes, I'm thinking of one case right now. I was helping somebody. They were making a directed retreat. So I had prayed, and I thought that they should read the letter to the Ephesians. That's what I got in my prayer. So I suggested that. And this fellow said, okay, I'll try that. And I said, just read it slowly and see if the Lord doesn't want to talk to you. And this is somebody who's been living a pretty fervent Christian life for quite a while. All of a sudden, the Lord started talking to him. He had set aside the time. He was going to make a retreat. He started reading Ephesians. And it was so, I was excited watching him get excited, you know. God's talking to him. And that retreat had a huge impact on that man's life. And all I did was coach. I didn't have to play the game. He played it. And the turning point in the whole retreat was this experience of Lectio Divina, sacred reading. So now his heart was moving toward and assimilating not the formulas, the realities. And they are expressed in an assimilable and divinely inspired way only in the Bible. And so that's the way this process goes. Try it. I know many businessmen who once they've started to get into this, take an hour a day to read like this, and talk to the Lord. And before they started, they said they were too busy. Then it got into their life. And can you imagine the delight that the Lord has in talking to these men, helping them, strengthening them with the temptations at work, giving them ideas on how to serve their family and take care of their children. It's just a beautiful thing. So that is what sacred reading is, a conversation with God. And the words he gives, his words, he gives us. The understanding he fills us with as we just go through reading, reflecting, praying, and experiencing. That's the steps. Again, read. That makes sense, right? You got to start somewhere. Read, and then pray about it a bit, you know. Lectio and then meditatio, reflect on it. And I've never heard of these words before. I better write them down, and I'll look them up later. And, you know, meditatio. And then pray about them. Lord, here's Paul taking care of that whole church at Rome. Is this the way I can take care of my family? You see, and then finally, just let the Lord talk to you.